much for such a beautiful music. God is using ordinary people. Praise be to the Lord. When Josh, when he was praying, I noticed what he prayed about, a little baby, child. It seems like the Pune church is growing. Yes? What is the name of the child? Is it Timothy? Praise be to the Lord for the new baby born Timothy. Praise be to the Lord. It's great to have you folks, to have your family here, and all of you here for the God's glory. Recently, I was reading a story. How a teacher asked a boy this question. Suppose your mother bake a pie, and there were seven of you, your parents and five children. What part of the pie will you get? The sixth replied, the boy. I'm afraid you don't know your fractions yet, said the teacher. Remember, there are seven of you. Yes, teacher, said the boy. But you don't know my mother. My mother will say she didn't want any pie. Today I wanted to talk about mother and the child Moses. This our topic is going to be, I would like to pray with you first. I'm so glad to be here right now in the Pune Church. Let uplift our voices to God and our hearts and our minds as we will go into the Bible study. Our dear Heavenly Father, you have given me a great blessing and awesome responsibility. Help me, dear Lord, to be sincere and truthful. Grant me the ability, dear Lord, to counsel wisely. And well, I need your strength, dear Lord, as I will preach right now. I really need your courage. I need your help. I need your guidance. Dear Lord, use my lips and use my body. But at the same time, I understand, dear Lord, but it's not the matter who is the speaker. It's a matter of what is the message, what you're trying to tell to all of us right now. Use, dear Lord, me for your glory and help me surrender my whole being, my whole life to you. Because I really would like to present your truth and your message to your people right now. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, this morning we are going to talk about mother and the child. We're going to talk about Moses and his mother. Moses, he was a great man in the Old Testament. Moses got the Ten Commandments from God, and he wrote some books in the Bible. How many do we remember? Yes, five books of Moses. Yeah, in the people in the Old Testament, especially all the Hebrew boys, they really learn about Moses quite well, and they learn about the Torah, and they needed to memorize the Torah. In order for them to pass their education and receive their grades, they needed to memorize five books of Moses. Five. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Did I miss anyone? At least, it will be nice for all of our young people, just simply not even to memorize them, but simply to read them and pay attention toward what the Lord is providing for you and me. Yes. Why was God able to use Moses so effectively? Personally for me, when I studied that message, I found out what his mother, she made a huge and a big impact on Moses' life. She made such a serious influence on Moses. But no wonder what he questioned. He questioned basic questions in his life. And throughout his life story, you'll find out some answers to the simple questions. Who am I? What are my choices? What is really important in this life? And what are my goals? By all human standards, Moses never had a chance not only to be even born. He was born as a slave, but he was already under the death sentence, what he needed to be killed when he was even a little baby. Had he was born as a girl, he would have been allowed to live, but as a boy, he had a life expectancy. Yes, Moses, he was a Hebrew, born in a cruel culture of ancient Egypt. The Pharaoh had declared that all the Hebrew boys should be exterminated. I just dialed simply in Google Nile River crocodiles. That's exactly what I got. You see, Moses, he was born in that particular situation. The whole story about Moses you can find easily just in the first couple of chapters in the book of Exodus. And Moses born in such a situation when all the little boys needed to be thrown into the crocodiles. While everybody bowed before the new order, one person will not submit. Not one, even the mighty Pharaoh, will lay his hands on a God's given child. And her name was, anybody remember the name of Moses' mother? Jochebed. Yes, exactly. Jochebed. Her courage saved the nation. For her child was Moses, the great deliverer of Israel. Only eternity will show the greatness of this mother. Moses was her third child. Is it true or false? Yes, Moses was the third child. Her firstborn was Aaron. He later became a high priest, and from his family, all the priests will come into the service. Her second child was Miriam. And I like that particular little movie over here. Oh, no, it's not coming up. I'm sorry, but it's showing in my computer. But Miriam, she looked after Moses. Yes, she looked after Moses because he was not ordinary person according what the Bible is telling us here. And mother of Moses, she determined in her heart to stand firm against all the forces of evil. And I really like what in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 23 it says, he was not ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. He was not ordinary child. Personally, for me, honestly, I never talked to any mother what she ever think about her child, what her child is ordinary. Every single mother is always thinking what her child is an ordinary child. Because our children, it's always, we are thinking as a parents, oh, this is a special, and praise be to the Lord. And nothing bad with this. It's really great. But do we know anything about Moses' father? Do we know any information? He was such a great leader of the whole nation, and do we know a little bit about his father? Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. Right in the beginning, Exodus chapter 2, verse 1. Now a man of the tribe of Levi. Without nameless, no even name, right from the beginning. I asked my professor, I remember how we questioned him at the seminary, why there is no even name for the Moses' father? He says, oh yeah, you will find out later in the chapter 6, name of the Moses' father. But right from the beginning, while Moses was writing that story, they were not even so proud of the situation where we grew up. Because if, just try to imagine, kids, they're asking each other, where is your father working? Oh, you know, he's building that big pyramid over there. He's building the pyramid. Who built the pyramids? Slaves. His father was working as a slave. It's not a happy situation. And exactly what we can learn here, what we can find out, what even as a slave, he was from the tribe of Levi. He was so faithful to God, even he was not ashamed if they didn't use his name right from the beginning. He was still such a great man of God. But all his tribe of Levi, they were so faithful. They were so faithful to our mighty God and Savior. And here's the text from chapter 6. Amram married his father's sister. Did you know that? But he married his father's sister. Yes. Quite a different situation, different time. who bore him Aaron and Moses. Amram lived 137 years. Amram and Jochebed, I'm just only just wondering, they couldn't pick a worse moment to be pregnant. But Jochebed, I'm sure what she did all she could to hide her pregnancy. When the baby was born, she sees how beautiful the baby is. For days, she wondered how to hide him and save his life. And now I'm just only admiring her while I'm reading this story, how she used her imagination and she used her creative ways, as every woman does. She decided, okay, as I'm praying, it's not enough. I need to step in and go by faith forward, and I will do something else. I will create a basket, a small little one. And she put a special material inside there to prevent from the leaking, and at least she placed the little baby into the basket and sent her daughter on a mission to watch for the crocodiles and just to be sure what the baby is going to be safe. And I'm sure what she was staying on her knees and praying to God while she sent her baby into the Nile River. But God changed everything in a simple moment. When God intervened, everything immediately changed in a simple and a quick moment. But this is what I wanted to share with you. What is happening in the real world in our days today? We're thinking, okay, it was during the time of Pharaoh when people killed and the little babies are killed. What in our days right now? What is happening? How Satan is using different ways to destroy and kill and kill for eternity. Number of abortions per year only in the United States, 1.37 million. 2006. Number of abortion approximately 3,700 per day. My dear beloved, if I will show you what is happening in the world, here's the information worldwide. Number of abortion per day approximately 42 million. If you're thinking I got this information somewhere from the wrong source, you can check it right on the internet. Number of abortion per day approximately 115,000. Okay, what about why women have abortions? 1% of all abortions occurred because of rape or incest. 6% of abortions occurred because of the potential health problems regarding either the mother or the child. And 93% of all the abortions occurs for social reason. The child is unwanted or inconvenient. My dear friends, this is where we are living right now on the planet Earth. I remember during the World War II, since 1941, when Germans invaded it to Russia until 1945, I remember the statistics, what more than 50 million got killed. 50 million. 6 million Jews got burned and killed. 6 million Jews and more than 50 million people altogether during the World War II. What is happening right now? We are not even observing this. We are not even noticing how Satan is killing us in a strange way and in an amazing way. Yes, Jehovah, she had a respect for human life. She had an overpowering love to preserve the lives of your children. What a contrast with the today's situation when millions and millions of people got, when millions and millions of people getting killed and the little children. Yes, how powerful are the memories of the Blessed Mother. Another great and spiritual lesson when I'm looking at Moses' life, this is what I can see so obviously, what God protected Moses and sent a daughter of Pharaoh. And she raised Moses as her own son. Is it true or false? Yes, she raised Moses as her own son. She gave him her name, his education, and all the wealth, and all the grandeur of the ancient Egypt used to belong to Moses. She at least wanted for Moses to be educated enough and be in a rulership in the future. I think what Moses had an identity crisis later in his life. He had a crisis he had to decide at the same point in his life, who am I? What am I really doing in this world? And at least we need to remember what every one of us are questioning, the same question in our lives. When we are wondering, if he said, I'm an Egyptian, and take his heritage, he will live a life of easy and be happy. He will have an outstanding career and have a great future and everything what he wanted. But if he would have said what he really, who he really was, if he would have said, okay, I'm Jewish, he will be humiliated, kicked out of the palace, sent to live in a bunch of the slaves throughout the rest of his life. Yes, Moses saw his people being badly mistreated as slaves, and he decided to step in. He was a man of character, man of integrity. He will not quell his conscience, and he decided, okay, I need to do something. And he stepped in. As you remember, he killed the Egyptian, yes? He killed the Egyptian because he decided to do something on his own. That, okay, if I'm the person right here, right in the middle of everything that is happening, let me step in and do it everything on my own, without God. But it's quite interesting to see what his life immediately changed after that, and he flee to wilderness. It's easy to find out that Moses' life could be easily divided on three segments. 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness, and 40 years with the people of God. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, he refused. Moses cut himself off from the promising career as an Egyptian, and he refused to live a lie. Instead, he wanted to do what God had made him to do. There is something liberating about being simply yourself and not just try to act as somebody else. If you want to live an effective life, step one is to relax and be yourself. Simply surrender your life to Jesus. Then Moses chose to be misled along with the people of God. And choosing rather to endure ill treatment with all the people of God than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, according to the Hebrew 11, verse 25. Accept your responsibility, please, for your own life. Don't blame anybody else and say, okay, it's just because of my parents I'm unhappy in this life. Oh, because they're in so much trouble and I had so much issues in my home. Oh, because of so-and-so, because of my siblings. Oh, you know, it's because of my, it's just because of my church. Oh, I have so many problems because of my church. People are saying all kind of strange, different stuff because of somebody, but not simply because of you. Look at yourself, please. Check your heart. And say what you should do with your own life. Who are you here in this world? Why God brought you into this world? Because God has a special reason and a purpose personally for you. Okay, now let's consider what Moses decided to do as the next step. He considered the approach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking for that new reward, which is coming straight from God. Let us see step by step over here. According to the Hebrew chapter 11, we can see verse 24, 25, 26 saying these following words. We see Moses refusing. We see Moses choosing. We see Moses considering. You see the refusing, and then you see the choosing and considering. And verse 23, it says, as a baby, God chose Moses by faith. And Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Moses' parents hid him for 3 months. They finished and they did their part. Moses' mother raised him until 12 years of age, did her part. And after that, it says right in the Bible, what God chose Moses as a baby, right from his moment and he was born, even before, according to the Bible, it says right here. But God chosen you too. And God choosing you for the special reason and purpose. And only just this question is for you right now, this moment. Have you chosen him as your creator? Some of our young people here. Dear guys, you need to make your choice. I was so impressed this morning when I asked, Kavilani. Kawi, yeah? Thank you, Kawi. You wrote me some names over here. This is what I wanted to read. The whole church. Noe, she's already quite in a great age. What about Nanir? What about Alika? What about Isaac? What about Kawai? What about the rest of you guys? When we have an opportunity to make this choice, say, Lord Jesus, let me simply just surrender my life to you and follow you as my God and Savior. My dear beloved friends, it's okay what you shared with me with the name, all these names. It's great because I wanted just even to motivate you to make this choice now, today. Don't wait for the someday which is going to be better in the future. Do your decision today. Don't wait for the better days in the future. Because as we are looking at Moses, he made his decision. He made his decision and went forward when he had grown up. I got baptized when I was 18. In Russia, we are not baptizing young people before 16. It's kind of legal issues over there. Before a child not receive the passport, you can't baptize him. You need to have a passport. Passport you can receive now at the age of 14. It used to be age of 16. After that, pastor is not obligated if you're baptizing after who is already 16. If you baptize anybody who is under 16, immediately government will be after you. And they will question you, why are you baptizing kids? Why are you not preaching what kids are supposed to be baptized here? But anyway, we had some different issues over there. But in nowadays, right now, what we're supposed to decide when we had growing up, I'm going to be bitter or I'm going to be bitter. No, maybe I misspelled something over here. How should I read this? I'm going to be better if I simply will follow the Lord Jesus Christ. If I'll simply just surrender my life to Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus, use me. Your happiness will be determined by your character in your life. And your character is determined by your choices you make. Simply be yourself. Accept responsibility for your own condition. And next question. What is really important to me in this world? Why God brought me into this world? Why I'm located here at the Puna Church? Why I live here in the Paradise Park? Even we are calling this Paradise Park, we are not living at Paradise at all. This is what I noticed. You have so many fences over here. You have lockers on your houses. You have windows which are closing quite nicely. For what reason? If we are in paradise, we should not be afraid of one another. Yes, we're still not in paradise, my folks. Yes, establish a value system for your life. Look at your life from the different perspective. Here, regard disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. Because he was looking ahead to his reward. Yes, treasures of Egypt. What in our days are people proposing as the treasures of Egypt? What are the values in life the world promoting today? The value of pleasure, possessions, and power. And this is so often young people are thinking, no, I'm young right now to dedicate my life to Jesus. I still would like to enjoy pleasures. I would like to achieve some possessions. And I would like to experience some authority and power and be kind of famous among the other people. But in reality, Moses, he grew up in a slave community. His mother helped him to establish some of these priorities in his life when he decided what the values he's supposed to choose on his own life. My dear beloved, remember, but your happiness is determined by your character. Your happiness is determined by your character. Not when you're complaining, because it's my parents, because of my folks, because of the situation, because I don't have enough money, because I'm not driving a fancy car. No, it's not happiness. Happiness, it's your character. It's determined by your character. Your character is determined by your choices. Your choices are determined by your values. And your values are determined by your vision, what you have your eyes on. This is what you're waiting for. This is what are you looking forward. Why we are calling ourselves as a Seventh-day Adventist? I recently had a Bible study last week with a young couple. They're new to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. We did the Bible study in Hilo. And they questioned me about the Seventh-day Adventist title. They said, why we are calling ourselves as a Seventh-day Adventist? Why, guys? Because God established the seventh day with a special reason. It was a first day for Adam and Eve. I appreciate so much Sabbath school class over here, because communication in our world right now, it's a first priority. Why Facebook is right now so popular? Why the owner, why the developer of the Facebook became a multi-billionaire in our days right now, and he's a young fellow. Why? Because he's in a communication business. What about MySpace and all the other websites? Oh, it's quite interesting to see what communication is in the first priority in our world. You see, there is nothing what we can take from this world. It's only our relationship with one another and our relationship with God. Nothing else. Our relationship with God and with one another. And when we are talking, when we talk simply here at the Sabbath school lesson about some other denominations and people who are attending worship on Sundays, not on Sabbath, honestly, I'm so proud, I'm so happy, I'm so pleased, not proud, but pleased, to know what the Lord revealed to us as a Seventh-day Adventist, so much truth. And we need to be so happy. But that truth not supposed to put us on a level, in a position higher than the rest of the world. As we'll say, oh, we know them more than you guys do. It means you're not going to be saved, just read the Bible. And they said, no, not enough. You need to show them simply an example. What you already know. And as you know as an adult, if you know more information, as you know more truth, you need simply just to step maybe slightly down and one step lower, below. And you can just simply talk to eye to those people. Recently, I received a personal call, honestly, from the Baptist Church, right in Kinaoli. They called me and said, Pastor, could you come and do a revelation seminar for us? I said, what are you talking about? I said, yes, on the book of Revelation. Because we got confused about this 1,000 days. What is it about? 1,000 years in heaven. What the prophet is talking about. I said, oh, how great, guys, what your question is. Absolutely, we're going to do a seminar. Yes, and we're looking forward. Because right now, we live in a time when people are questioning. And we have so much information. We have so much truth. We need simply be just happy and pleased what as a Seventh-day Adventist the Lord reveals for us so much. But at the same time, it's supposed to humble us. Say, Lord, you've been so faithful and great to us to reveal for us the complete truth. Help us to be a faithful servant, helpful slaves of God, when you can go forward and do business for the Lord and for God. Because nothing is about you. It's all about God. It's not about you. It's about God. And if we are working for God, you will not think about yourself, what you're working as a slave. And God will proclaim you and he will call you. You are my best friend, he will tell you. Because God wanted to establish a relationship and friendship with you. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Who is invisible according to the Moses here? He looked forward while he was looking forward to see Jesus and God himself. He was invisible for him at that moment. He had no five books of Moses, not Old Testament, not 27 books of the New Testament, not the Bible at all, no stories from the back. And Moses went forward by faith. It was his first steps, first approach. We have so much information. We have 66 books. We have free Bible studies. We have so much material. And we are so reluctant to use this information for the God's glory. Let's use it. Let's be honest. What we can be such a great resource in our community. But beside this, it says right here, by faith he kept the Passover at the application of blood. Passover is talking directly about Christ. Passover is pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Passover is pointing what Moses was looking forward to, look at Jesus, who is a great example, was a great example for him. This is the five key words in Moses' life. He refused. And he chose. Guys, this is what we need to do. You need to refuse when you're looking at this world around you. You need to make your choice. You need to choose. You need to make a step forward and say, even in my young age, I will go forward and make a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And after that, he regarded. And he saw because he looked forward and he endured. Where is Moses right now? Oh, yes, maybe he's listening to us, yeah? Praise be to the Lord. This is where I'm absolutely confident when I can say this sentence. He's listening to us. I'm not talking about all the sleeping saints. They're sleeping and resting in peace until Jesus will come back. But Moses, who else is in heaven? Elijah and Enoch. Yes, free people. Yes, just last week I was talking about the rapture, and a young couple, they questioned me, Pastor, are you saying what, as a Seventh-day Adventist, you don't believe in rapture? Don't believe in a secret rapture? I said, yes, you're right. We don't believe in a secret rapture, but we believe in rapture. We believe what rapture is going to occur and happen, and Jesus will come back to this earth. But I don't believe in a secret rapture. It's going to be a public event. Everybody will hear. Everybody will see the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But so far, in order for us to see the Lord Jesus, we need to refuse. We need to choose. We need to be regarded. We need to look forward with assurance, which we can see from the Bible, from the love letter which God presented to us. I'm thinking about Moses' mother. He received a great lesson from his mom. And on this Sabbath, I may suggest to all of you, dear woman, dear mothers, just enjoy the heritage you owe your children and your family. Never underestimate the power that God has given to you, moms. Because God created you in such a different way compared to how God created Adam or man. God created woman absolutely in a different approach, with a different way to show his character. And even in Ukraine, I know when we used to live over there in Russia, in Ukraine they have even the title, the word. When the person is not married, they call him half of the man. When he is married, he is a man. Yes. It's in Ukrainian language. Yes. You're chlopchik. It means you're half of the person. When you're married, oh, you're the man right now because you're married. Yes, it's quite beneficial for all the men to have a wife, to have a spouse, and look forward to enjoy fellowship. But at the same time, we need to be open-minded. If some of you are going through the struggle and problems and issues, and you're thinking there is no way for you to achieve your goal, to have somebody who will be next to you, who will support you in this life, always remember what Jesus Christ is always next to you. He is willing to help. He's always listening to your prayers, and he is willing to and be a help to you at all the time. Yes, at that time, when everybody was in slavery, she prayed on her knees and sent her son on a mission to the crocodiles. And now we read the story so many thousand years later about the great mother, Jehoshaphat. Yes, a great example, simply because she entrusted her life and entrusted her son's life in the hands of Jesus. All her children dedicated to the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, he actually did exactly what Moses did. Jesus looked forward to the wonderful day when he will see the results. He knew what as a result it will be the salvation of millions and millions of people. And he was not paid attention so much to the suffering which he was going through. I pulled this picture out of the movie. I just cut it from the Passion of Christ. I don't know if it's illegal to do or not, but so far I did it just to show you what God went through. At least right now in our days, we need to see what we're trying to just use our imagination. But the Lord Jesus, as God himself, suffered for you and me with a special reason. Because he wanted to save you. He wanted to spend eternity with you. Because he's in the business of communication. This is the reason why he created that Facebook and MySpace already a long time ago. He already created this special reason why he created this planet Earth. And he said, this is my space. And this is my Sabbath. And this is you, where I would like to create you with a special reason to use you in communication with me. My dear beloved, as we will look at the examples right here, let us just summarize everything what we learned today. Do you need to be yourself? Or you still wanted to be like somebody else? Maybe you wanted to wear like somebody else. Maybe to wasn't to drive like somebody else. You wanted to use like somebody else. Or you would like to be like who you are. Because you need to simply look at your life for the simple eyes. For the eyes of Jesus. And say, Lord, what a privilege what you created me and brought me into this world. And I don't need to even recreate this temple once again. Because this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Yes, is it true? Yes, our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So often young people are thinking, okay, we need to put some additional stuff or something into the temple of the Holy Spirit. We need to maybe just simply paint it slightly in a different way and maybe just add some images on our body. But simply, this is not true exactly what the Bible is telling you. God created you in a perfect way. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And after that, accept responsibility for your own decision. Like Moses, you make the tough choices. Go forward, because set up your values for you. God does not use irresponsible people. You make the choices. When you set up the values system for your life, and you will see how the Lord will bless you in the future as you will see the priorities and goals. What is worth being uncomfortable for me? Your family or somebody else? Are you willing to die for somebody in your family, in your church family, or in your community? Clarify your values and internalize them so you don't respond to the pressures, but you respond to the priorities. Never take your eyes off the goal. Get a clear vision what God is providing, proposing for you. And now is an appealing message to all of us. God uses ordinary people. And I appreciate so much for this wonderful, beautiful song which girl just sang. It was beautiful and right to the right in the right time. God uses ordinary people. But they are extraordinary in the sense that they make the right decisions in life. Like Moses' dad, Moses' mom, and their family. These opportunities which God providing for you and me will only we can experience if we will just make this simple choice and say, Lord, I really would like to follow you. Could you come into my heart? And I would like to submit my life completely to you once again. Yes, I know I go through some family challenges. And my husband is not exactly acting in a way how I would rather expect from him to act. Dear Lord, help me and teach me how to deal with my husband. Dear Lord, help me how I should treat my wife in a lovable manner. Dear Lord, help me to be quite active in the church. And help me to be quite active in the community because I know the truth. I know so much information. Help me, dear Lord, to follow your example. Maybe some of you need to invite Jesus Christ into your life simply right now. When you can say, Lord, I would like to be baptized. And as I am already so privileged to live in Hawaii, maybe I would like to be baptized in the open ocean. What a day is going to be for the Puna Church. Yeah, it will be great if you will do it right in the baptistry over here. Great privilege, honestly. But in the same time, it will be an option to do it in the ocean too. And you can say, oh yes, Lord, I really would like to rededicate my life to Jesus. If you would like to be rebaptized, it's an option for you. Every one of us, we need to make this public commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when I was dating my wife, we had a wonderful time. But we needed to make a commitment in order for us to be husband and wife. In order for you to be so close with the relationship of Jesus and to be assured what you will be in heaven, you need to make that commitment publicly and say, Lord Jesus, I would like to be baptized. I would like to be yours 100%. Lead me and direct me. Will you say this morning, Jesus Christ, my God and Savior, you chose me to be alive in this world, and I really would like for you to lead me, to direct me, and to guide me. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the example of Moses. Let me be open-minded, dear Lord, and lead your congregation here in the right direction. I really wish, dear Lord, if I will talk to the young people and to those who haven't been baptized yet. I really would like, dear Lord, for them to make this commitment to surrender their lives to you and enjoy all the privileges which you are providing for your faithful people. Dear Lord, please bless Puna Church. Bless every one of us here. Help us, O Lord, to follow you, our great example. Help us to love you from the bottom of our hearts. And help us to love one another as we will commit our lives completely to you. We're asking everything right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.